I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we're going to visit with Brian Billick, NFL Network, Super Bowl winning coach. And Coach joins us, once every other week or so. And we kind of pick his brain on a variety of things, Mike. How do we overcome these injuries? And what's he thinking right now about the league? We'll get into all of that with Brian Billick. But I want to remind guys, 92.9 The Game is giving you a chance to win $50, a $50 Marlowe's Tavern gift card. Now, you need to enter 92.9 The Game's Best Bar Joke Contest. It's via Instagram.
I just dropped one on Darren earlier off the air. He laughed. It's a dirty joke. Can't tell you guys.
It's via Instagram. Record yourself telling a bar joke and tag 92.9 The Game, all right? And use the hashtag bar joke contest 92.9. I'm about to go around the room because Craig's looking at me like he's got one. That's all you need to do to enter. Record yourself telling a bar joke, tag 92.9 The Game, and use the hashtag bar joke contest 92.9. We will select one winner per day this week. If you are selected, you will win a $50 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, and your joke will be played on the air during the morning show. So that's pretty cool. And remember, Marlowe's Best Joke Facebook page for your chance to win dinner at Marlowe's 4 years. So you can do all that, guys. Hey, we'll hear some of those jokes coming up, but we need to jump on the line on the WadeFord.com hotline and talk with Brian Billick, who joins us here on Dukes and Bell. And, Coach, it's good to have you back on. First things first, we lose another safety. And, you know, here in Atlanta, obviously everyone's going, oh, man, what else? As a head coach, what are you thinking? What's Dan Quinn thinking right now as far as, you know, what his process is to get through this situation?
Well, every team, you know, does a constant evaluation and has a roster of players at every position. The what if, as deep as you can get it. Realizing that obviously there's only so much of a field. What's out there, veteran, young players that have been cut, what veteran might be out there that could maybe come in and give you some additional relief. But it's not an easy thing to do, particularly when you have an injury in one area that seems to be, like in the offensive line, and you need a bunch of offensive linemen, and there's just not a lot out there. Obviously, the injuries they're going through in Atlanta, which is really unfortunate. I thought that defense really had a chance to be a solid top 10, maybe even a top 5 defense when the season started. But to lose all the players that they have, you see the same thing going on in Tampa. It's kind of like last man standing. So, yeah, it's not an easy situation. And you have to also realize that at the end of the day, no matter who you bring in, they're there for a reason.
Right.
They're not on an active roster, or they're not starting someplace for a reason. So as much as it's next man up, yeah, we're going to go win with it, you got to realize it's not going to be as good.
And that's the thing, Coach, is Brian Billick, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Our feeling is it's going to be a lot like the 2016 season, where all the guys that we're missing now were all rookies who went on to become Pro Bowlers, but then they were rookies. So we took our lumps, but we had to score a lot of points. So easier said than done, though, in the NFL to go out there and score 4 touchdowns each week.
It is, obviously, in a league right now where obviously it was wide open, and it seems like every week it's almost a track meet. Mm-hmm. And you'd like to play better defense. And the fact that if you can, certainly Atlanta with the talent they have with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, looks like Calvin Ridley's really beginning to come into his own. The running backs, you're certainly capable of it, but it does put a lot of pressure on you when you're thinking, at a minimum, you got to get 4 or 5 touchdowns a game.
Coach, tell our listeners about SeatGeek.com.
Well, whatever your ticket needs are, it's not just football games or athletic events, whether it's concerts, whether you're going to the theater. You know, SeatGeek, there's millions of tickets in one place that you can go to at SeatGeek.com. They bring them all together. They grade them. They tell you what kind of deal you're getting when you look at it. Every transaction is guaranteed. That's the best part about it. And if you go to SeatGeek.com, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase if you put in the code Billick.
Got to do it, guys. SeatGeek.com. Coach, let's go around the league a little bit. Have you ever seen anything like what we're seeing with the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell?
Well, you know, I think it may be a derivative of what we saw in Oakland when Khalil Mack ended up holding out and actually getting traded someplace. I think Le'Veon Bell, had that not had happened, would have done what you normally do. You hold out, you come back when the season starts, and you get to free agency next year. But when he saw the mega deal and the mega contract that Khalil Mack got, I think maybe that emboldened him a little bit to say, hey, I can get that same thing. He's the best back in the league, no question in my mind. And if Pittsburgh doesn't want to pay him, he's got to believe in somebody will.
You know, the season, Coach, as you just laid out, there's injuries, there's bumps in the road. The Packers years ago, they had like 14, I think it was 13 or 14 guys on IR. They also had Aaron Rodgers, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, we're trying to, as you said, we're trying to be positive here. But look at the Rams. They're supposed to be the big dog in the NFC, and they just lost their secondary for a short period. So, well, should we just take the mindset that everybody at some point is going to be banged up and it will all equalize?
Yeah, and from the standpoint that I don't think outside of maybe the Rams, who are the only team in the top five, both offensively and defensively, they run the ball, they throw the ball. There are no dominant teams in the league right now. There are teams playing well. Kansas City's obviously playing very, very well. But their defense is last in the league. So I don't know that they're going to be end up being that dominant team. So from that standpoint, it's a wide open field. And everybody's going to have injuries, yeah. And there's certain things that you have to overcome. But, yeah, this is it is a wide-open field, so I think Atlanta fans can, you know, just kind of hang in there because this thing tends to even itself out as you get through the course of the season.
Brian Billick joining us, guys, on the WaitForward.com hotline here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, what's your take on the roughing the passer calls?
You know, I've been doing my shows all day today, and that's all anybody wants to talk about. You know, you have to look at it through a couple different prisms. One, yes, we're trying to keep the players healthy. And for Atlanta fans, when you see this, just think about the hits on Matt Ryan that you don't want to see happen and that now he's going to be protected. That's a good thing. But it is, boy, this is a tough one now. I look at it from the standpoint, how would I coach these guys in terms of attacking a quarterback? You've got a narrow sweep spot, can't go above the shoulders, can't go below the knees, can't be more than a step and a half to the quarterback after a throw. And now when you bring him down, you whether intent or not, you can't land on it. So you got to do kind of this Keanu Reeves matrix move, you know, where you can stop midway and turn and fall and let them fall on you. This is a tough one, and I know the league is committed to it, and I think they have to kind of like the catch rule, bring a little clarity to it, because right now it looks like any sack on the quarterback is going to bring a penalty, and that's going to be very frustrating for the players.
Brian Billick here, guys, brought to you by SeatGeek with us here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, obviously the big soap opera in Tampa, tough decision for Dirk Koetter. He wants to hold on to his job, and Fitzpatrick, after throwing three picks, did rally him back. I mean, what would you do if you were a Koetter there down in Tampa?
Well, I don't know. If you're around in the ninth hole and you're three under, you know, you're going to switch your putter going into the, you know, 10th green? I mean, I don't know. We know with Fitzpatrick that particularly if you throw the ball 40 times, you're going to get what you got the other night. You're going to get as many touchdowns as interception. He's been spectacular. If you can keep it to a 30, 35 throw, you got a good chance of being at a really good day. He's got a hot hand. I don't know that you want to kind of put that pressure on Jameis Winston to go in, and now if you're not as good, if you're not throwing three, four touchdowns with what they have on the outside with Evans and Jackson and these tight ends and the ability to run the ball, that puts a lot of pressure on Jameis Winston. So I'm not sure he's not going to go with Fitzpatrick and go to failure. And, you know, if all of a sudden he has one of those games where it's a three or four interception or he gets back-to-back games, then go ahead and go with Jameis Winston. But as well as Fitzpatrick's playing, notwithstanding the interceptions the other night, why would you not go with a hot hand?
Are you buying Baker Mayfield?
Well, he certainly brought energy into the game. And now, yeah, you have to because he's their number one pick. And you knew we were going to get there.
Right.
It's just a matter of when. And we're there. And we'll see how the team responds to him. We'll see what kind of progress he makes. Like Sam Darnold, we saw this Josh Allen. I saw Josh Allen last week. I was in Minnesota.
Right.
Very impressive performance on the road against that good Minnesota defense for Josh Allen. So for all these guys, we're going to see over the course of the season. But I will say this. For none of them, it looks like the game's not too big for them.
Right.
They don't seem overwhelmed by it. So I think they got a pretty good chance of being decent numbers by the end of the year and kind of progressing from there. Baker Mayfield's no different than the rest of them. We'll see if we can maintain this energy.
Super Bowl winner, see him on NFL Network. Brian Billick with us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coach, we talked about the injury aspect when you're a head coach dealing with that. What do you do if you're Mike Tomlin and this Le'Veon Bell situation, where he maybe just comes in for the bare minimum and gets the year checked off for his contract? I mean, where does that go?
Well, you know, my mentor, God bless him, Denny Green, always used to say, you know, there's a time for pay and there's a time for play. And during the offseason, you just, as a coach, hold it at arm's length when all it's about contract and this, that, and the other, because that's just what that's about. But then when you get to the season, you hope the players can do the same and just hold the business side at arm's length, and it's all about play. Well, Le'Veon Bell, you know, deciding that he's going to try to make a run at this thing in terms of the bigger contract. Compare that to Earl Thomas in Seattle, says, okay, I'm going to come in, but I'm not going to practice. I'm going to play, and I'm going to save myself, and I'm going to get the big contract at the end of the season. So, unfortunately, the money aspect of it, particularly in today's game, is going to insert it. And as each coach has to deal with it, it's a tough one, because the other players will look in that and say, well, what about me? Do I have to practice? You know, I want to save myself as well. So this is a tough one, particularly for a Pittsburgh team that has that window with Ben and how much longer he's going to play. And they're a good football team. We saw glimpses of it the other night. And they could certainly make a run of it in a wide-open AFC,
right.
But they need Le'Veon Bell.
I'm sorry, I should have qualified the question because no, Carl asked you. But I mean, do you get involved as a coach, though? Do you let the general manager play that, or do you get involved?
Well, not really. I mean, you are. There's no question. And it's kind of a facade when you say that you're not, because you're integrally involved in who's playing, who's not, who comes and goes on the team, where that money's going to go. But you need to hold it at arm's length, and particularly with the player during the season. It's like, look, you let your people and our people, let them deal with it. You and I can't. You and I got to be on the battlefield here. So we got to let all that white noise stay away from us. And so, no, you hold it at arm's length, and you don't get drawn into it, even though in actuality you are.
You've been around one of the best to ever do it in Ray Lewis, and I bring his name up simply because tackling seems to be abysmal right now in the NFL. And, Coach, I'm watching our squad in Atlanta here over the weekend. We had, as Dan Quinn said, DQ said, we had double-digit. He wouldn't even give us the number, missed tackles. How do you fix this based on the rules and not being able to practice the way you guys used to be able to do?
Oh, well, that's a legitimate observation. That is tough, because obviously in training camp, what do? You never bring a player down to the ground because you don't want to get injured. You don't play the starters a whole lot in the preseason games. So now they've got to get in that pure tackling form during the course of a game. So it is a growth process, and I think it will get better. I think a lot of teams are in the same boat, and I think as the season progresses, we'll see that type of tackling get better and better. But I think you bring up a legitimate point. How do you practice that if you don't do it in training camp, if you don't do a lot of it in the preseason game? Well, the only chance you're going to get to improve on it is in the games themselves once they start.
There's a couple of teams left now that are 3-0. Dolphins with Ryan Tannehill, and I don't know if everybody believes in them, but how about the Nuggets on Andy Reid to move on from Alex Smith and get Patrick Mahomes in there, and the kid's just lighting it up right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's spectacular what he's doing. There's no question about it. The thing that interests me is I don't think there's necessarily a dominant team in the league right now. As good as Kansas City is, their defense is last in the league, and it'll get better. But that will begin to even itself out. Miami, we're going to find out. Can they go on the road in New England, what looks to be a vulnerable New England team, and win on the road? They're playing small ball. Ryan Tannehill's got better than 70% completion percentage. That's a lot to maintain. Can you stay on those 10, 12, 13-play drives? But we're going to find out this week as they go up into New England. And so outside of the Rams, and even the Rams, who are clearly the most dominant team in the league right now, offense, defense, top five, top 10 in both passing and rushing, but their secondary is beat up now. So you talk about injuries, I mean, it hits everybody. So that's the exciting thing about the league right now. I don't think there are any absolute dominant teams, and that's why it's so wide open.
Coach, it's always good to have you on. Once again, SeatGeek.com. Guys, I was just looking at this, Coach. They got tickets for UFC with McGregor in Vegas coming up. They're tickets for everything, right?
Oh, they got it all. No, you're going to get the best price available, so you got to go to SeatGeek.com.
And use that code, Billick. I use them to get the U.S. Grand Prix tickets for the race in Texas coming up next month, man. Coach, thanks again for the time.
Sure thing.
Bill, Brian Billick, should I say. And interesting stuff from Coach from the standpoint of Mike, you know, this is what we've been talking about today. If you're just joining us here on Dukes and Bell, we started the show, and we'll talk more about it in the 5 o'clock hour on the Falcon Report and kind of break down some of these backs we've been seeing. But we're not out of this. This is not panic mode for us, at least Mike and I on this show. We laid out to you guys 22 teams bunched at either 2-1 or 1-2. The three unbeatens, that's it. And Coach is right, Mike.
We haven't even dusted off the panic button yet, and we know how to use the panic button.
Big series starting tonight for our Atlanta Braves. It is Tookie time taking on Noah Syndergaard, Mike. But, you know, we're excited that we won this division. Don't get me wrong, but it's not over. You're still playing for something.
No, three games behind Chicago for the number one seed. Here's the problem, though. Kelsey Wingert, who you see on Fox, just tweeted out, forecast looks bad tomorrow as well. Lousy weather up there at Citi Field. They might get some fans because David Wright's trying to make a go of it, the long comeback from his back injury, but he was reactivated by the Mets. But Syndergaard versus Tukey, as you just mentioned, but it might be a later night in New York unless this weather gets moving, and you never know what you're going to get.
All right, more about the Braves coming up, guys, at 520 as part of our big story. Right now, let's go on the sidelines with the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Let's hear from Kirby Smart. A lot of talk about what they did against Mizzou and how they shut down Drew Locke. The running game, they did not shut down. Missouri had over 170 yards, four touchdowns on the ground, guys. But Kirby talking about being physical up front, and he thinks this is a big week to you know, Mike, exert their prowess as far as showing people around this conference. And you have to deal with us up front.
You play a game certain ways. You change things up. You change your strategy so the other team doesn't know what you're doing all the time. And a lot of those rushing yards had to do with that. A lot of them had to do with unwillingness to strike people. And if you don't strike people, you won't stop the run in our league. You will not stop the run in our league. So you got to strike people and be physical up front in order to do it.
Got to strike people, be physical. I like it. I'm down for that. No, I mean, Mizzou and Kirby, as I said, I thought, as we've been talking about all week, there's a lot of things you can take from the game that obviously will be teaching moments. And one of them will be, you know, Kirby screaming at guys for being more physical. And obviously, if Mizzou can run it on you, the only reason I bring it up is I'm not sure that Tennessee's got the horses. Their offensive line is a work in progress. What about, though, Kentucky down the road? You know, with Benny Snell, and they're running all over everybody right now.
I know. And remember, we talked to Benny at SEC Media Week, and, you know, I got him kind of amped up because I was like, you've done nothing! And he was like, yeah, you're right. But he's looked really good. Listen, the dog's going to have to maintain or trying to contain people on the ground, Mike. People are going to run the ball, especially after seeing Missouri doing what they did. Hey, real quick, speaking of running the ball, Ben Cleveland, and guys, you know, once he became the starting right guard last season, Dogs went 8-1. They won the SEC championship. They won the Rose Bowl. And the offense scored at least 40 points six times. A lot of that was due to Cleveland. But the team is about to find out how valuable he is. Cade Mays, remember, he was a kid that was committed to Tennessee and then changed because his dad was a Tennessee guy.
And he had a couple of penalties. He was a little scratch. He was a little rough around the edges his one appearance this year.
All right. So the freshman who started one game in place of the injured Andrew Thomas. Mm-hmm. That was for Monday's practice, first team at right guard. The point is, right now, with Ben Cleveland being a little banged up, they're trying to figure out what they want to do at that position. So Cleveland's been a big part of the success over the last, you know, season and a half here with the Dogs, and now they're going to find out just how valuable he is, Mike.
So certainly on the offensive side, you just laid it out. The good news is you got depth. As you mentioned, Cleveland was a guy we couldn't wait to see as a red shirt, and now he's paying dividends. But they've got big guys, and that's one of the things if you watch the broadcast. They were talking about the size of Georgia's line across the board, how much bigger they are than they've had in years past under Mark Richt. So, I mean, you got depth. I don't think you have to worry about it. But Cade Mays, I mean, it was a learning moment, his first start.
No, I totally agree. Speaking of Tennessee trying to run the ball, listen to what Kirby had to say about that.
I see the physicality they're trying to run the ball with and stop the run. I mean, there's no question that they're creating identity, and you can tell the way they're committed to the run. Each game they've gone up with the number of runs they've had.
That is, of course, Pruitt. And I think Jeremy Pruitt is going to try to create that identity. Mm-hmm. Listen, at one point that was Tennessee football, right? Run the ball, play tough D. You had studs on the defensive side of the football. Okay. Maybe they're trying to get back to it. They're not there yet, but that's what Kirby's talking about.
That's Johnny Major's brand of football.
That's right.
Fulmer sort of thrown it, sort of thrown that ball around. Then Peyton showed up. But by the way, really funny. We read Seth Emerson, obviously, in The Athletic. If you haven't followed him, he's moved over to The Athletic website. Today in old football, Tennessee won its first game against Georgia in 1899. Yes, John Fricke was there to cover it.
I've heard. Yeah.
The University of Tennessee, 11, defeated the University of Georgia here, the score being 5-0. It was a pretty game from the start to finish with scarcely a squabble. That's actually the quote from 1899.
Scarcely a squabble?
No, it's a different vernacular, Carl. It's a different time.
Let's hear from Jake Fromm, the quarterback of the Dogs.
I didn't think we were really good in executing situational things during the game. But that's something, you know, we'll get better at. That's something we practice every week. So as we progress, you know, we'll get better at it, and we'll get another chance next week.
They will get another chance against Tennessee. By the way, they're 30-point favorites in that game.
Right. Now, the pick that he threw, I mean, you could argue that Hardman's got to hold on to it, although as soon as Hardman turns with the ball, boom, he's got a defender in his face and picks his pocket. So you could argue, I thought it was on Hardman, but the more I look at it, it's kind of 50-50. But I thought the passing game, you know, you knew you were going to be able to get big plays, and they did. Certainly down the sideline, great. You're seeing the athleticism of the Georgia wide receivers across the board. We call Hardman, Holloman, we talked about. You got so many weapons. So, yeah, Tennessee, they're not there yet, Carl. This could be a lot of fun. Tailgate, 3:30. And then you might be tripping the light fantastic by halftime.
Could be. On the sidelines with the Dogs, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. If you're looking for the ultimate man cave, if you're looking for some home security or home monitoring, call Brightbox. You know, it has gotten back to the linebackers and the defensive line about the pass rush. DeAndre Walker was talking about it yesterday, saying that, they're hearing all the noise, Carl, and they felt that they did a better job against Jake. But remember, don't forget, Drew Lock took a little more time. He said early, as we talked about, I don't know if we were holding out. Team's been playing the beginning of the year. We're getting the ball out very quick. We felt like Lock didn't get it out as quick, though we did a few times. We'll just execute better.
All right, shifting gears from Georgia to Georgia Tech, guys. Mike, we were called out last night on the Twitter, and we invite you to follow us, 929 The Game. Like the station on Facebook if you've not done so. Follow us on the gram as well. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show guys is Dukes and Bell. Spencer heard our conversation yesterday about Paul Johnson, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was pretty clear, but if I wasn't, I'll be clear today. He says, want y'all to stop being so passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive?
He says, if y'all want Paul Johnson fired, you should just say you want him fired. Stop all this dancing around, teasing the fans of Georgia Tech. Say what you got to say and be done with it. Paul Johnson should be fired. This team is uninspired right now, and they're not playing good football. The ups and downs now, Mike, we've been through this for a decade,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you want me to say it, I said it yesterday. Here's the deal, Georgia Tech. Are you dissatisfied enough to do something about it?
Well, that's what we said yesterday. The worst thing that can happen to any program or any team, pro, college, whatever, is when the fan base becomes disinterested. And I got stuff. I put up a bunch of stuff the other day saying how irrelevant the football program had become. And the basketball program is unfortunately leaning that way as well. After all the millions of dollars which the alumni have contributed, they've got the facilities, they've got everything, they've got Adidas now. Where is, the X's and O's? I mean, people are sick and tired. Let's keep it real. You want us to be passive-aggressive? Georgia Tech fans hate this offense. It works for the service academies. It was a hell of a story to see Army go out there and take Oklahoma to overtime. But nobody wants to see this week in, week out. They also want to see, and I can't speak for all college people, but I think a lot of fans out there also like to see their guys make it to the NFL and be stars. And that also helps drive recruiting, okay? And the last one was Bebe Thomas. And he was recruited by Chan Gailey. So let's keep it real here. Nobody wants this offense anymore. If you want to go join a lesser conference, you can't compete in the ACC. Just make that mission statement. But Stanford does it. Northwestern finds a way to compete. Why can't Georgia Tech do it on a yearly basis? Not once every 5 years.
Not won a game in the ACC. The loss against Clemson, again, we can break down the numbers. 8 fumbles. 8? Come on now. I mean, tell me where the discipline is. Now, Paul Johnson did come out. To coaches' credit and say, listen, I'm not happy. You guys shouldn't be happy. Nobody's happy.
Yeah, I'm frustrated with the way we're playing. Absolutely. It's embarrassing. I can promise you we're going to get better fundamentally at quarterback. I'll promise you that.
Now, here's the thing. Obviously,
so it's the quarterback's fault?
I guess so. Spencer must be new to the program. We never have ever have a problem telling you. As a matter of fact, part of this show's mantra is the fact that I want everybody fired, allegedly, right? It's not true.
We don't want to be cartoon characters.
It's not
like,
true.
No, we're the coach killers. But, I mean, look, if we don't do our job, if we don't put up numbers each quarter, we don't get to keep to talk on the radio. If you don't put up sales numbers in your job, they will replace you. I don't know what Paul Johnson has done over the last 4 years, and the Orange Bowl was amazing. One for the record books. That's ancient history. Okay, if you're satisfied.
Did you just say what Janet Jackson, what you've done for me lately? Really? Did you just pull that?
Hey, man. But I mean, And Georgia Tech fans get mad at us because we have fun. Because, no, why don't we talk more Georgia Tech? Because the average Georgia Tech fan doesn't give a flip.
Why would I talk more Georgia Tech after that abysmal performance last weekend? Are you serious? I want to. We're rooting for Tech. Mike and I both went out on a limb this season and said, listen, you got a quarterback coming back.
Right.
You got five offensive linemen that have played four more games coming off of last season. You got some experience up front. Your B, your C, your D, your E backs are all back. We're cheering for you. But come on. Give me something. And, Mike, right now, as I watch this team and the way they've played, they're giving us nothing.
Bunch of Tech fans hit me back saying that, guys, he's actually – they're agreeing with me, saying that, as a Georgia Tech fan says, your point is right. Lots of good coaches would take the job. There's no good reason Tech can't win wanted to.
Listen, you're in the heart – I hear this conversation all the time. It's a joke. You're in the heart of Atlanta, okay, first and foremost. That's selling point number one. You're playing in the ACC, all right? You have a chance to win and play for conference championships if you bring in the right guy. And on top of that, Mike, educationally, you got a job when you get out of there. Give me a break. There's all these great things about Georgia Tech that I always hear, oh, they can't do this, they can't do that. Yet I see these other academic schools around the country achieving success.
Let's get to the old, the 500-pound yellow jacket in the room. This calculus thing, doesn't that always come up?
It does.
You can't get football players to take calculus. I couldn't have handled calculus as a 50-year-old or as an 18-year-old. So should they change some of the academic standards when it comes to the football program or athletics?
Is Stanford changing academic standards?
The hardcore Georgia Tech fan will tell you that Georgia Tech is the hardest Division I football school to play for because of the curriculum. That has always been the argument.
It has, and I've heard it. I've talked with Tech fans about it. The reality is you've gotten great players to come to your school and have success. Why can't that continue? Why can't you go out and get those kinds of players to continue the success that we've seen in the past? You want us to tell you what we think? I have no problems telling you. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Is today's question number one.
How much do you trust Dan Quinn? We're going to get into that. And these running backs and their success against our defense thus far coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Before we get to Yeah Man, No Man, real quick, Mike and I, he was just looking at the course requirements basically for Georgia Tech. Now, this is going back a couple of years. And having played football, Mike, I'm not going to tell you that every school has a curriculum for athletes.
Well, some do.
Okay? But I will tell you that taking statistics or algebra or whatever, that may be the norm. But to have you take five or six courses that may have nothing to do with your major just because you're in engineering school, and you were telling me that some of these courses are mandatory, if this is true, in fact, guys, and we're asking the question, then I totally understand what Tech fans are saying.
So if there's Tech fans out there and you know or you're familiar with the 2018 syllabus for athletes or somebody knows, because this has always been the great debate. It's always been, well, you'll never be able to win because of this curriculum. And the athletes, and Georgia Tech will never lower their standards for the athletes, which we've always said for years. This goes back to Dave Brain. We'll get to Squid Billy and Yeah Man, No Man. But real quick, Carl, the outgoing athletic director, Dave Brain, who had also been athletic director of Virginia Tech, famously basically said in his Elmer Fudd voice that Georgia Tech to win 10 games, that's a whality. It will happen every few years. That basically your lot in life is to win 7 or 8. Basically, you're Vanderbilt, you know, or you're Kentucky in the SEC, which I don't think is acceptable for anybody. That's a loser mentality. If you can't do the job, you can't do it all, you can't compete in that level, we'll either change your curriculum or get out of the conference.
No, it's not even about that. How about changing the system and getting the right people in
well,
there?
That too.
That's what we're talking
about.
Well,
here's the thing. I mean, is it harder? Do the football players who play for Stanford, who kick butt and go to big bowl games, take the same courses that the football players at Georgia Tech do?
But
how much more easier do they have special courses? I went to Virginia Tech. The joke was geology, rocks for jocks.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. I that's why we're asking. If you're a Tech fan, hit us up at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL, or call in and talk to Squid at 404-741-0929.
Yeah, is this requirement as tough as it seems? Because that's part of this argument. With that said, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. But what you got working today, man?
Well, if they call right now, they might be talking to Craig because I can't talk to them and you at the same time.
Craig, you got it.
So the Ryder Cup is going on, or it's about to start, and they're over there. And
excited. I'm excited.
Apparently Phil Mickelson is, too. He was tweeting about how much he loves the coffee and stuff over there. But to this story, Tiger Woods was asked his Mount Rushmore for golf, and he said this.
My all-time Mount Rushmore of golf. Okay, well, probably Snead, Jones, Nicklaus, me.
I have no problems with that.
Right?
That's great.
I mean, he's not lying. You know, Arnold, again, he's better friends with Arnie than he was with Jack, but obviously Jack has got more than he, so I don't think you'd argue with that, Carl.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Sam Snead, Bobby Jones, Jack Nicklaus.
Hell of a list. Hell of a list.
So, Yemen No Man, you cool with his Mount Rushmore? Now, look, as for the record, this has nothing to do with Tiger mentioning himself. I think he should be on Mount Rushmore, and sure. If I was given one, I would say him as well. But he left off some good players. Some Gary Player got left off.
Right. Ben Hogan.
Ben Hogan, Palmer. So, yeah, man, no man with his Mount Rushmore.
Snead didn't win as many majors, but Snead's got the all-time record for tour wins.
He was a difference maker. Yeah. He did have Jack on my list, right? And Tiger, for his entire life, has chased Jack with the majors. I would not have had a problem with Tiger saying Jack before him. But here's the element that, again, he's bigger than golf. And because of it, right, he's such a transformative figure. You saw it at East Lake. Go look at the gap. Go look at what it looked like, a riot running after Tiger going up 18. Because of that element and how many people he's brought to the game, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, yeah, man, I have no problems with him putting himself in that on that list of Mount Rushmore for golf.
And by the way, Sam Snead's the all-time leader with most wins in the PGA Tour. It's seven majors, by the way. And Snead was the guy after World War II that got golf going. Hogan was a part of that. But Arnold Palmer was the guy that saw the growth really explode.
That's right.
And then Jack, of course, came on. And a lot of people didn't like Jack because they were Arnie's army, and Jack was the young guy from Ohio State
coming
to take his money.
Pretty cool seeing Bobby Jones on his list as well.
I'm cool
obviously
with that.
He just
absolutely
won at East Lake, which is mm-hmm. you know, Bobby Jones course and everything. So, all right, let's move on to Monday Night Football. And I think when we watch Monday Night Football now, the whole the Booger thing where he's down there, it seems to be there's a lot more cutaways than I remember in the past. And I put a piece of paper on the desk for you guys that you can flip over, and it's got some pictures. You got to flip over the paper. Carl,
right.
Flip over the paper and mm-hmm. look at there's two pictures there.
Uh-oh.
Of Jason Witten.
No, don't say Witten's wearing a rug.
Jason Witten mm-hmm. when he was playing, where he has less hair.
Right.
Jason Witten where he has a head full of hair, which was from Monday Night Football last night. And Sam Donaldson,
who wore a toupe.
So yeah, man, no man. Did Jason Witten get hair plugs, or is it a toupee?
Well, there's three options. It's a toupee. He got plugs and it's grown in, or he used the stuff that I used to use when I did TV, that topic stuff, that salt and pepper shaker, Carl, that fills in the bald spot.
It won't fill you in like that, though. I mean, you got to have a little bit to work with.
I mean, maybe he had a procedure, or you think that's a toupe on Witt?
It looks too full for me, man. Now, here's the deal. There are things out there now that help you grow your hair back. And I don't know if he used this stuff. Who was it? Who was the linebacker with the Bears who did this?
Erlacher did it.
That's right.
Now, again, Bosley, I've been begging for Bosley to get a deal with me, Carl, because, hey, you can put my fat face on a billboard anywhere you want around Atlanta. I'll put the plugs in like Wayne Rooney.
I will tell you that Witten is not sporting a rug. I'm going to tell you that this is some kind of
a toupee?
Yeah.
Accoutrement? A Marv Albert. You know what it looks like? So the picture that Squidbilly gave us, and we'll post it. Looks like that thing should come with a chin strap, Carl. I've got to be honest. I'm going to say, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Strange things on his head, man.
Yeah, man.
It's definitely going for the Sam Donaldson look there, isn't it?
I forgot how Sam looked back in the day.
Mr. President, answer the question.
That hair never moved.
No. I mean, it looks like he's wearing Davy Crockett's hat. Back to you, Squidbilly.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that, Mikey. So, an Indonesian teenager survived 7 weeks at sea. Did you guys see this story?
No.
The kid was on a little fishing trap, and it got pushed out to sea. No one could get him. The waters were near the Pacific island of Guam, mm-hmm. and literally he was out there for 7 weeks. He said he survived by fishing, catching fish, and he ran out of food after a week, and then he took water from the ocean. He put it in his put his shirt in there and drench it out, and he would drink water from the ocean.
Filtering out some of the salinity.
So, yeah, man.
49 days, man.
You guys could survive 3 days lost at sea like that?
Well, I got a lot of weight. So, yeah I'm good for 3 days. Yeah, man. I don't know about 49 days.
I mean, Carl, that's a great way to lose weight. They put us on a little Contiki hut like this guy and let us drift.
Yeah, I mean, 3 days, I think I could do anything.
But couldn't you, I mean, if the rain, I guess if it, here's the thing, if it's not raining, you can't use rainwater for your water supply. So that's why, I guess, boy, oh boy, 49 days.
It's a long time. That's where you start to get delusional.
Like Bugs Bunny, where people look like a pork chop or something.
You see a tiger on the boat. What was that? What was that movie where the guy has lost a sea and he saw a tiger, Mike?
Yeah,
you
know, he has all the delusions. The dreams. Yeah, I hated that movie.
That's a long time.
Artsy fartsy crap. Oscars love that stuff.
What was it? What are you talking about?
The kid with the
crouching tiger?
No, it's an Indian kid. He's on a boat. He has all these dreams of his life, and the tiger's on the boat.
Oh, yeah. He won an award.
Pretentious crap.
Yeah. That's why you don't like award shows. Boy, what's the question, Bo? Yeah, man. No, man. Yes. Yeah, I think I could survive. Yeah, man.
You sure? Well, you know, you like vacations. So
you
like
said 3 days. 3 days is a different deal. Here's
the thing. If you had, like, you know, do like those, like the rugby team in the Andes, you know, and you're going to turn to cannibalism, could you maybe saw off a piece of your leg meat and go to work? If I had some Band-Aids and a lot of Neosporin, I think I'd try it. I'd probably be very tasty.
But then you're going to attract sharks.
I think I'd have good marbling on my thighs.
But wait a minute. You got fish. You can eat fish.
Oh, you got to catch them. I'm the worst fisherman in the world. You know that. When we go fishing, I pay the guy to drop the lines in the water. That's why I like deep sea fishing.
I would not have a problem with catching some fish there, man. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, man, for me.
No, man. I'm dead meat.
Oh, Mike's going to saw his leg off after his day. He's going to attract sharks and be eaten.
What are you having? I'm
gonna,
having fingers.
I'm going to hallucinate. My legs look like a giant lamb chop. Anyway, back to you.
Wow. One day. Know what Mike would do. Uh-huh. So it's you know, we always have the National Day. Today is National Lobster Day.
Yeah. Ooh.
So I'll ask you, it's not yeah man, no man, but where is your favorite place to eat a lobster at?
Ooh. Well, I don't like the city, but Boston. I gotta give it up, man.
Really?
Yeah. I don't necessarily like the city, but I will go and enjoy some great lobster and have. So I'll call Boston out on that. Where's yours?
Well, we got legal seafood down the street, which I'm always a fan of. Atlanta.
You said city, right?
City or Atlanta Fish Market?
You can say anywhere, wherever.
Oh, I thought you said city.
I mean,
the pond gets a big lobster. Oh. They got that lobster in New York Prime they bring around in the little wheelbarrow.
Any great fine steakhouse here in Atlanta. I thought you meant what city would you go to or where you've had lobster. That's a different question, Bo. But either way, big lobster fans, man. You like lobster?
No, I can't eat shellfish. I'm allergic to shellfish.
Oh, thanks for telling us
that. Lobster falls in there, but I heard Alluvia has a great lobster.
that's where the guy was outside looking for his wallet this morning when I walked by. Chops Lobster Bar, if you're on a date, guys, you want to enjoy it. That's a great spot.
Great place.
And a big Falcon fan who's behind the bar down there, too, so say hi.
All right, man. What's his name?
I forgot. He's just sitting in front of me at the Falcons games, and I sat in 124.
Is he bartender or is he a waiter?
Yeah, he's bartender. I called him Big Guy for like 10 years. Hey, Big Guy. You know, when you don't know a guy's name, he's Chief.
No free drinks for Mikey there.
No, what's up, Big Guy? You know, hey, man. Yeah. What's up, brother?
So I'll greet him next time I'm in there.
Hey, Big Guy.
He works at Chops?
Yeah, he's downstairs. All right. Big Guy.
We'll find him.
Chiefs on line one.
We're coming back. Falcon Report next. The latest on our Falcons. And, guys, we have good news. Relax.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.